Well, good morning, local church. How is everybody today? Doing good? Good. If I hadn't had a chance to meet you yet, I'm Paul Ballington. I get to be the lead pastor here at Local. And of course, to all of our moms here this morning, happy Mother's Day. Thank you so much for deciding to spend your morning with us. Without all of our moms, it is a scientific and biblical fact and truth that none of us would be here this morning. So moms, thank you so much. Again, happy Mother's Day. All of you deserve to have an incredible day, and I hope that's exactly what you experience. Not only would any of us not physically be here without our moms, but without mom's help, who knows where all of us would be right now? Can I get an amen? Mom, you are the definition of what it looks like to help and to serve and to care and make better for all those that you care for. All of us here, if we stop and think about it real quick, think about all that our moms have helped us with, from potty training to all the elementary school science fair projects, right? To even now watching our own children so that we can go out on a date with our spouses. Moms, what would we do without you? We'd be hopeless, that's for sure. There isn't enough paper in the world to document each and every way that our moms have helped us in our lives. Moms, you're awesome in every way. For us men, not only do we have our moms to help us, but when we get married, our wives, the mother of our own children, help us tremendously as well. For any of my single dudes here, keep praying for that wife. One day you're going to have her, and you're going to realize how much she is going to help you out. But I know, without my beautiful, incredible, awesome, as many adjectives as I could put right there, my wonderful, wonderful wife, Nicole, I would be completely lost in so many ways. And actually, a couple weeks ago, I got to spend 9 days away from my wife, and I quickly realized how lost I was while I was in Africa on that mission trip. And guess what? In many ways, I was completely lost. While I was on my trip, I came to the realization, church, that I haven't had to grocery shop for myself in at least 5 or more years, and this is where my lostness started. I get to my destination after several days of travel, and I go to the local grocery store, and I quickly realize how much I take for granted how well my wife helps me and serves me. And here I am, I'm in a third world country with my credit card at the grocery store, and I don't have a clue. Of course, I'm like a young child. I'm attracted to all the things that aren't good for me. It took me back to the days of being in elementary school when your mom would give you a $20 bill for the book fair. You guys have been there. And you go in, and instead of getting really any books, you come out with an NFL poster and Guinness Book of World Records, right? This was me in the grocery store with my credit card buying food for the week. I came out with 10 protein bars, four Red Bulls, some shaving cream, and some toothpaste, okay? I didn't know where to start, and I didn't know where to end when it came to grocery shopping. That's how much my wife helps me and serves me so well. I was lost without her. I was hopeless. Then comes the laundry. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't have to run into that issue at all while I was on the trip. Point being, moms, wives, grandmas, bonus moms, all of you that are moms, you all help us in so many ways. So thank you, not just today, but every day we celebrate you. Church, let's give it up for our moms real quick. Let's give it up. Today, though, there's something that every one of us in this room need help with that is of the utmost of importance. Today, there is something that is going to wreck every single one of us. There is a realization that we need to come to, and a truth that we all need to hear, and a truth that we need to embrace. And the most important kind of help that we're going to talk about today, it's not physical, it's not practical, it's not even emotional, it's spiritual. What if the reason that oftentimes we feel dry and tired and confused in our faith, and we feel as if we've been wrestling, is because we don't really know God like we think we do? There's a famous quote by a well-known theologian and pastor named D.A. Carson. He said this: "The one thing we most urgently need in Western Christendom is a deeper knowledge of God. We need to know God better." Carson is referring to us. We here at Local Church, everybody in this building here today, we represent a part of Western Christendom. And we urgently need to address our problem of needing to know God better. See, our issue of not knowing God well enough, it leads to shallow discipleship, meaning here in America, honestly, we've really lowered the bar on what it looks like to follow Jesus. And what this leads to is it leads to weak prayer lives. It leads to moral failure all throughout the church and our society. And it leads to this sense of a lack of mission of what we're called to do and how we're called to live as followers of Jesus. And the problem stems from we don't know God well enough. We don't understand his holiness, his authority, his majesty, and most importantly, we don't understand his powerful, powerful grace. And every single one of us, no matter where we're at in our faith journey, we need help to know him better. What we need today is we need to be wrecked in the best way possible so that we can embrace this truth and we can figure out where we need to go to get this help. And that's exactly what we are going to do this morning as we continue in our Wrecked series. And what we're doing is we're walking through the first two chapters of the book of Ephesians. And our hope and our prayer as a church is that we would be wrecked through this series in the best way possible. And so that we would stop wrestling with God's grace and we would be transformed by it. If you have your Bibles or devices with you today, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. You can also track along in the program that you should have received on your way in. Last week, if you were with us, we walked through the first half of the chapter 1, and we saw that it was all about praise and worship. The second half of chapter 1 that we're going to go through today, we're going to see this powerful, powerful prayer by the Apostle Paul for the early church of Ephesus and for all of us today. And it's going to show us how to get this help that we so much need as followers of Jesus. Remember, the Apostle Paul, he had planted the church in Ephesus. He established leadership there, and then he left to continue planting more churches. And when he wrote back to the church of Ephesus in this letter, he was writing back to them because they needed help. In Ephesus, there was an immense amount of things that were trying to distract the church and all the followers of Jesus from what they were really supposed to be doing, much like what is going on in our world today. We got distractions on top of more distractions, trying to keep our focus on the wrong things, trying to keep our focus from what we really need, and that is to know God better so that we can stop wrestling and we can start walking in the grace God gives us. So Paul starts this section of scripture off in a very encouraging way that also draws our attention to two very important truths about what it looks like to follow Jesus. In Ephesians 1, verses 15 and 16, it says this, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Paul points to two very important parts of following Jesus. Actually, the two most important parts, faith in Jesus and love for others. If you want a quick definition of what it looks like to follow Jesus, this is it. Having faith in Jesus that he is who he says he is, that he is our Lord and Savior, and then to love others. This is just like the greatest commandment that Jesus gave us. When Jesus was living out his life, his ministry before he went to the cross, he was asked, "What is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest thing I could do?" And Jesus said, "You can sum up the entire law by doing these two things. Love God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength, and love others as you love yourself." This sums up the entire law. Those two things are the greatest things that we can do. And Paul is thanking the church of Ephesus that they're living this out. And then he says, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Paul keeps on praying for them because even though they're living out the faith well, they still need prayer, just like all of us. Maybe right now you're really living out your faith really well, and I know that there's a lot of you that are, but we still need prayer. Our need of prayer to pray and to have others pray for us, it never goes away, no matter how good things are going or how bad things are going. And this is a great principle to follow for prayer. That prayer is always ongoing and it's always planned. We never stop praying. We have our planned times of prayer, and then we see prayer as this never-ending conversation that we get to have with God. From our quiet time in the morning that's filled with very intentional prayer to all our prayers that we pray throughout the day as we're working and spending time with our family, doing what it is, whatever we're doing, and then that time that we're closing the day. Maybe we're spending some more intentional time in prayer with ourselves or together with our families. Point being, prayer is ongoing and it's planned. No matter how good or how bad things are going, prayer must be a priority. After this, though, Paul turns a corner in the scripture, and he tells them exactly what he's praying about for them. And this is going to tell us about the help that we all need so much here this morning. In verse 17, it says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." Paul could have prayed for many, many things here. Remember, the church of Ephesus, they're in a very, very hard place. They're facing things that are extremely difficult. Every day they're under physical, emotional, mental attack, spiritual attack. And the church and everybody that's connected to it, they're all under this attack. Everybody that's around them. Being a follower of Jesus during this time in the early church of Ephesus was a very, very difficult thing. So it would be easy to think that Paul would have said, "Hey, I'm praying for all of you and all the trials and the difficulties that you're facing, all the persecution that you're facing. I'm praying that you would have strength and you would have rest so you can keep on going and doing and you can endure." But that's not what he says. He's praying that God would give them wisdom and revelation, that they would know God better. Even in the midst of all that going on in the early church of Ephesus, he is praying for them that they would know God better. The problem that the church of Ephesus was facing is the same problem that we are facing here today. We all need to know God better. And in order to do this, Paul is telling them that they need help. You can't do this on your own. And this is what we need to know. We need to embrace first thing today is that without help, we are hopeless. That's our first point together this morning. Without help, we are hopeless. With this truth of us needing help. Some of you are maybe already very much aware of this, that you know you need help. If that's you, good on you. I'm glad you are. But I feel and I know that a lot of us here this morning, we need to hear this today when it comes to our realization of needing help. I feel like most of us fall into one of two places. The first place is this, is that we have an overinflated view of ourselves. We feel as if we're completely self-sufficient. To put it simply, we have too much confidence in our own abilities. This is the place that I usually fall into. Now with this, my sister's laughing on the front row. Good job. Now with this, there's nothing wrong with being confident. Nothing wrong with having confidence at all. There's nothing wrong with knowing where we are at in our abilities. But spiritually, when it comes to knowing God better, without help, we are hopeless. We need help. And this is of the utmost of importance to the follower of Jesus. To know God and to know him better, we need help to do so. This is the first place, an overinflated view of ourselves. The second place is this, that we have a very low view of ourselves, that we have zero confidence in ourselves. We feel like everything we've ever tried, no matter what it is, even the spiritual things, we feel like we've failed at them. And my experience with this second place is that most people get so low on themselves, they know that they need help, but they feel so guilty and they feel like so much of a failure that they feel like they can't ask for help. They're terrified to ask for help. Both of these places are both equally tragic. And either one of these places, we need to know that without help, we are hopeless. We need to wreck both of those places today with God's grace. Because when we live in either one of these places, this is what leads to us feeling like we've been wrestling. And it leads to this feeling of feeling exhausted. And it leads to us feeling like we're wasting our lives. So we need to embrace and recognize the truth that without help, no matter who we are, we're worthless. We need help to know God better. No matter which one of these places we fall into, we need help. We need help to fully understand and know God and understand exactly what knowing him better leads to. Because when we know God better, we aren't going to be wrestling anymore. Instead, we're going to be walking in his grace. Knowing God better and walking in his grace is going to fully and completely transform every single one of us. When we start doing this, when we get to know God better, our faith is going to be stronger. The better we know God, the more we're going to know his character, the more we're going to know how faithful he is, the more we're going to understand his power, the more that we're going to understand his love, the more we're going to understand his grace, our faith will be incredibly stronger. We won't be swayed by any kind of changing circumstances. The world around us will shake and will tremble, but we will stay steady because of how well we know God. Our faith will be stronger. We will have a richer worship. The better we know God, like we talked last week, worship won't just be through song on a Sunday morning, but our entire lives will turn to worship the better we know God. Our prayer lives will be so much more than transactional the better we know God. Our prayer lives will become transformative, not just simply transactional. The better we know God, the more that we're going to understand the power of prayer and the richer prayer life we're going to have. We're going to have a greater spiritual maturity. The better we know God, the more we're going to know his truth, and more grounded in his truth we will be. And the better we know God, the more mature he's going to make us spiritually. This spiritual maturity, it will affect every single part of our lives. We'll have a clearer mission and purpose the better we know God. The better we know him, the more faith in him we'll have, and the more we're going to love others. The better we know him, we'll be more sure of our purpose, and our drive to fulfill that purpose will be inexhaustible. And then lastly, the better we know God, the less our feelings will define us and drive us. The better we know God, the more his truth and his character will control and drive us. We'll experience a joy, we'll experience a hope, we'll experience a love and a peace that transcends every bit of human understanding. This is why knowing God better is of the utmost importance. And the first step in doing this is to first know that we need help to do this. Without it, we're hopeless. The sooner we embrace that we need help, and that we're wrecked in the best way possible, the quicker we can get the help that we need. Because knowing God better is going to get us again away from wrestling and more towards walking in God's grace. Paul continues on with this prayer. Verses 18 through 21. It says, I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So that was four verses. Doesn't it just sound good? You just read through that, it just sounds good. God uses Paul to give us a ton of incredibly rich writing. So many times when I read through Paul's writings, I'll read it and it's so rich and it just sounds so beautiful. It makes me smile just reading that. But the first time through, I might be smiling because it just sounds so good. But at the same time, I'm like, what exactly does that mean? Man, it sounds good. It's beautiful. It's rich. But what does that mean? What does this part of God's word mean for every single one of us right here, right now, today, as we read through it? Well, we're going to break it down. But before we do, here's the big idea of all the scripture that we're looking at today. First, like we've been talking, we need to know God better. We've established that. We've also already established that without help, we're helpless in this process of knowing him better. Here's the second part. Our help comes from the Holy Spirit. That's our second point together today. Our help comes from the Holy Spirit. See, Paul is praying on behalf of the church of Ephesus, and this is giving us an important truth that we need to rely on today to know God better. Paul is what the church world likes to call, he is intercessionally praying for the church of Ephesus. Anytime that you're praying for somebody else on somebody else's behalf, that's what you're doing. It's called intercessional prayer. You know this person's need, and you are interceding on their behalf to God so they will receive the help that they need. And Paul starts off this whole thing by asking God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you would know God better. And then he continues to intercede. And through this, God is using Paul to show the church of Ephesus and all of us here today where our help comes from. that our help comes from the Holy Spirit. See, God is going to reveal himself to us. We need God's help to know him better. And he's going to do this through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that dwells inside of each and every person that has confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life and believes that God raised him from the dead. If you've done that, then you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. And God is going to use his Holy Spirit to help us know him better. And through those last four verses that we just read, God is using Paul to remind us of how we need the Holy Spirit to know him better. Verse 18 says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance and his holy people. There's a lot right here in just one verse. To know God better, we need the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts, meaning open our hearts so that we fully realize the hope to which he's called us. So this means that knowing God means knowing hope. Well, hope of what? Well, the scripture tells us, the riches of his glorious inheritance to his holy people. So let me ask all of us here this morning, do any of you feel hopeless right now? Do any of you feel poor in any kind of way? Do any of you feel like you're holy here this morning? I know for some of you today, some of you do feel as if you're hopeless. I know for some of you here this morning, you feel as if you're poor in many, many ways. And then I bet for the majority of us this morning, we didn't walk through those doors today feeling super, super holy. See, our problem is that we don't know God good enough. Because this is what the Holy Spirit and his word wants to remind us of today. First, that we are never without hope. We might feel hopeless. Well, if we know that we need help, then we are not hopeless. And if we know that we need help and we go to the Holy Spirit to receive that help, he's going to remind us of that hope. He's going to remind us that nothing, absolutely nothing can take that hope from us. He's going to remind us that the moment that we stepped into a relationship with Jesus, that we have victory. We know how the story ends, church. And it ends with us forever being in God's presence. And there's nothing on earth, no earthly circumstance that can change that hope that we have. Church, there's hope. And with the Holy Spirit's help, the better we know God, the better we know hope. The less that we're going to wrestle and the more that we're going to walk in God's grace. And if you have hope and the better you know God, then you're rich. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the scripture says that you're rich. Men, we could go home today and tell the wife and kids, family, we're rich. Elon Musk ain't got nothing on us. We're rich. Why? Because of the glorious inheritance that we are going to receive. For any of you here this morning that feel poor in any kind of way, if you know Jesus, you are the exact opposite of poor. You are richer than anything you could ever fathom. All these material things, eventually they're all going to fade away. But this hope and these riches that God is giving to us, they last for eternity. With the help of the Holy Spirit, the better we know God, the more rich we feel. And when we feel that richness, we're no longer going to wrestle, but we're going to start walking in God's grace. And how about the last one in verse 18? It says, his holy people. Again, how many of us feel real holy today? How many of us are quite aware of how we've sinned already this morning? How many of us feel like we've done something to disqualify ourselves from knowing God better? Like we feel like we've messed up too much. Everything from our thought life to our actual actions that we do, it feels like the opposite of what God wants us to do. Church, we need to know this, that if we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, God tells us that we are his holy people. You know what that means? Stop wrestling with performance. The God of the universe that has created everything calls us his holy people. The better we know God, the more we depend on the Holy Spirit, the more we realize that we are his holy people, the more we realize this beautiful, powerful grace that not only does he wrap us up in, but he lavishes on us. So that was just those four verses. It continues on. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to keep growing, going, and knowing God better. And we're going to know what it says right here, verses 19 through 21. with his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in present age, but also in the one to come. So how many of us today feel powerful? I'm willing to bet that more of us than not aren't feeling so powerful today. We're probably leaning more towards feeling powerless. And if that's where we're at, we need to know God better. Many of us right now, we're exhausted. We're tired. We feel like we've been wrestling a gorilla all week. And I don't care what the internet tells you, you're never winning that battle, okay? Our marriage is kicking our butt. Our finances are upside down. Our kids won't listen. We hate our jobs. We have relationships that are in disaster. Nothing seems to be going right. We aren't thriving at all. If anything, we feel like we're barely surviving. Listen, local. For everyone hearing this that believes in Jesus as Lord and Savior, God's word and his spirit wants us to remember and know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that raised Jesus up and seated him at the right hand of God, the same power that has authority over everything in existence, not only in this present time, but in every future moment that is to come, is the same power that dwells inside each and every one of us that know Jesus. Amen. We feel powerless because we don't know God good enough. We forget that he's placed inside of us a helper, that is the Holy Spirit. Not only is the most powerful force in all existence, but is power. And it's here to help us. That is who God is. And he didn't save us so that we could just have eternity with him, but so that we would be his wise, hope-filled, glorious, holy, powerful people, so that we can know him to the fullest. And the more that we know him, the less we wrestle, and the more we walk in his grace. This is knowing God better. And he's given us every tool and every bit of help that we need to know him better. Paul wraps up chapter 1 with this powerful prayer. And what he does when he's wrapping it up is he gives praise back to God. In verses 22 and 23, it says, "And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Paul closes this prayer to make sure we know who's in charge of this whole deal. Jesus is in charge. He's called us again to be his wise, hope-filled, glorious, rich, holy, powerful people that is under his care, and we follow his direction and his authority. We are his body, the church, and we are called to be the fullness of him, and he is the one who fills it in every way. To make things really simple, all of this, it all belongs to Jesus, and we're going to do what he tells us to do. And the only way that we're going to know what he wants us to do is if we know him better. So this is how we're going to close service today, local, with this question. How well do you think you know God? For everyone here, I know. Do you feel wise? Do you feel hope-filled? Do you feel glorious? Do you feel rich? Do you feel holy and powerful? If not, then we need help. Without it, we're hopeless. But we aren't hopeless because we have the help of the Holy Spirit. And all of us in some way, I'm sure, feel like we're lacking in some way of knowing God better. Remember where your help comes from, the Holy Spirit. And if you're tired of wrestling and being exhausted and feeling like you're only surviving, it's time to show dependence. Not only show dependence on the Holy Spirit on Sunday mornings, but to show daily dependence every day on the Holy Spirit, and every day going to God and asking him through his Holy Spirit to help us know him better. When we do that, church, we will be wise, we'll be hope-filled, we'll be glorious, we'll be rich, holy people that he's called us to be. And our lives will be filled with a faith that moves mountain, worship that's going to shake the grounds, prayer that produces miracles, maturity that will cause the world to look with wonder, extreme clarity and focus on the mission, a truth-driven life that will never be shaken. This is what knowing God is going to lead to, local church. And the world won't see a church that keeps stumbling and falling all over itself, but they will look at the church and say, you know what? That looks like God's wise, holy, rich, beautiful, hope-filled people. And when they see that, they're going to want to know God better too. So do you want to know God better? I hope so. All we have to do is ask for it. As Tyler and the team, as they lead us in a final song of worship here on this wonderful Mother's Day at local church, everyone here, this help is available to every one of you. So as we worship with one more song, let's respond. Let's ask the Holy Spirit for help. Let's know God better. Maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to take that first step of knowing God better. And that's first recognizing what Jesus did on the cross and making him Lord and Savior of your life. And whatever way that you need help here this morning, maybe it's praying over a specific situation that you need to know, that you know you need to know God better. Maybe it's to take that initial step into a relationship with Jesus. Whatever that is, church, this is your time to respond. We're going to worship. All of men's is going to know what God is doing here at Local this morning on this Mother's Day. But if you need prayer and you want to take that step, myself and the team will be right over here to my right, your left. We'd love to have a conversation with you. We would love to pray with you. We would love to show you what it looks like to walk into a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're here and you have a specific thing that you need help with. You can't even muster up the words for how to pray for that specific situation. Let us be the church. Remember that scripture that said that we belong to Jesus, the church is his body, and through the church is the fullness of him. Let us be the church. Let us help you. Let us pray for you. Let's respond, church. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all that you are. Thank you, Lord, for another wonderful Mother's Day. I pray for every mom here today, Lord, that they would feel loved, that they would feel appreciated, that they would feel treasured exactly like they should be, Lord. Lord, I'm really enjoying this series, Wrecked, that we're going through as we study your word, Ephesians 1 and 2. And I know the power is completely in your word, Lord. And you've been working in this room here this morning, and your word is penetrating minds and hearts. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Lord, would you do what you want to do right now at local church? Would your kingdom come? Would your will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven, Lord? For all of us that we've realized today that we need to know you better, would you help us? Our help comes from you, Lord, from the Holy Spirit. Give us minds, heart, and souls to seek that help, Lord, and would you fill us? And will we be the people that you desire us to be? Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.